thankful to be here, to be able to worship God in spirit and truth. So very thankful for all our visitors that are here. We are missing so many of our own. We're thankful that you are here to praise our God. We're told in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And many are giving thanks as we think about the national holiday on Thursday. But it's not just a once-a-year thing. For the Christian, it should be an everyday thing that we are thankful for every day of our lives. And there is so much to be thankful for. And sometimes when we think about all the things that we have been blessed with, we may have to be able to think, who is the giver of all these gifts? We think about so many things that we can be thankful for. And we start off thinking about our Heavenly Father. You recognize concerning our Father in heaven is good. And you think about earthly fathers. You might think, I have a wonderful earthly father, gives me many good gifts. And it's interesting that Jesus is using this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, as you think about this comparison. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11, Jesus said, "If you then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children," generally we do, "being evil, how much will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?" Because we recognize our earthly fathers sin from time to time. No earthly father is perfect, but our Heavenly Father is perfect. And concerning his gifts, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. The giver of every perfect gift, James 1 and verse 17. When we think about the fact concerning God's plan of redemption for man, that he has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. You think about the physical inheritance that you might receive from your family. Well, that's going to perish. Well, this inheritance will never pass away in heaven. We think about concerning what we imitate from our father, from our earthly fathers, and desire to follow in their steps or imitate, as you think about how cute it is concerning the children when they walk in your shoes. And we're told to be imitators of God as his beloved children. Think about if you're a Christian. Concerning you, think about life and gift and inheritance. God is a giver of life. Think about, what about all these individuals who aren't Christians, who don't appreciate his love and mercy? God must not even care about them. Well, of course he does. The Apostle Paul is speaking to those who are Gentiles, and they have made this altar to the unknown God, and so that gives the opportunity to preach about that unknown God. In Acts chapter 17, in verse 24, he said, "The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are also his children." And we exist because of our Father who is in heaven. For all of mankind, every precious soul that you see out there, all the billions and billions of souls out there, he is not far from each one of us. But if you recognize concerning there's a need, as he preached here concerning repentance, to change your will for God's will, our Heavenly Father, so much to be thankful for. Because we know there is only one other Father in a spiritual way. And many are acting like him, as Jesus had warned concerning the Jews. You have your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. So it's going to be a relationship concerning how we act. Are we going to be like our Heavenly Father, or are we going to be like the devil? who is called the God of this world. So much to be thankful for. His son, Jesus Christ. We think about the establishing concerning this family relationship. We understand concerning families, and we are blessed with families during this time of Thanksgiving. And we recognize concerning what God has done for mankind in Jesus Christ. He demonstrated his own love toward us while we're yet sinners, that Christ died for us. We had the opportunity to remember that sacrifice. He, by the grace of God, tasted death for everyone. His son, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul deserved death. He tried to destroy the church. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, notice that he is directly thankful to Jesus Christ here. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, and verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. Obviously, he was not deserving because of, look at all the good works that he had done, so he has earned salvation. No, he was not deserving of that. And he recognized that, what he had tried to do in being a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor against the church. But he thanked Christ Jesus that he could be put in his service. He said, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet, for this reason, I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. For all people, that example concerning salvation from sin, from being in bondage to sin, being enslaved by Satan, enslaved by the devil to do his will, and we've been free from that through Jesus Christ, even though all of us are unworthy. After he said, be imitators of God as his beloved children, in Ephesians chapter 5, this is the way that we live our lives. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, he said, and walk in love. Here as his beloved children, and walk in love. What's the example? Just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. This sacrifice to God, this one who suffered and died on the cross, is a sacrifice, a sweet smelling aroma to God. Here as you look upon the example that he set, that before us of holiness and righteousness. So why would we, as he continues in the next few verses, why would we would be sexually immoral or greedy? That is not proper among saints. Don't be have filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but notice it, rather giving of thanks. It's demonstrated by the way that we live our lives here. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or a covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, don't be partakers with them. We've been saved from the wrath to come through Jesus Christ. Are we thankful for that? Are we thankful for that sacrifice every day of our lives, and especially on the first day of the week? We remember that great sacrifice on our behalf. Can we say the same thing with the Apostle Paul? I thank Christ Jesus, my Lord. We should be. Let us not forget what we have been saved from, the wrath to come. Also, might forget about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person in the Godhead. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 10 and following. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul says, for to us, talking about the apostles here, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. You want to know the mind of God? Here, the Holy Spirit searches out these things. He said, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except what? Except for who? The Spirit of God. I can't read your mind, and you can't read mine as far as what's going on right now. The Lord knows, but I don't know.
It's only when it's revealed. And here, as you think about concerning the revelation of God's Word, well, I think I know God, and maybe read commentaries about God or people talk about God, but don't go, actually go to the source. And you look upon the Holy Spirit searching out all things. And the Apostle Paul says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may what? So that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. God has allowed us to know His Word. The Holy Spirit searches out all things. And as you think about concerning that response to that divine revelation, when we read it, we can understand it. Ephesians chapter 3 teaches us. And talking about being reconciled in one body to God through the cross. And the Apostle John wrote in John 3 and verse 5, Nicodemus came to him by night. We read in that context here in Brett Narmore's class and the Bible class this morning. Earlier in that context, he had gone to John 3 and verse 19, John 3 and verse 5, and said, unless you're born of water and spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of God. What? Can't be born, you know, you can't go in your mother's womb and be born again. He was thinking in physical terms. Born of water and the spirit. If you think about concerning, you think about a physical birth and being born into this world. And we, because of our sins, separated ourselves from God. But we can be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He didn't just stay dead in the grave, but He rose from the dead on the third day according to the Scriptures. The fulfillment of all the Scriptures, what He said Himself. And even his apostles didn't believe it at first until he saw many convincing proofs. So it's in obedience to the truth that we have purified our souls. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. And continuation of that, as you think about divine revelation, aren't you thankful for God's Word? We don't just hear it concerning rumors, or this is what people have thought, and here is passed down by word of mouth, but we have the confirmed and revealed Word of God. In continuation of 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, and following right after that passage, he said, since you have an obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, notice it, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, the living and enduring Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. We see here concerning the things of this life. They die, and we see people die. But the word of God abides forever. Jesus had said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Matthew 24, verse 35. We have the same word of God which was preached in the first century. And aren't you thankful for that? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul writing to the Thessalonian brethren. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In verse 13. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification. How? By the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this that He called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we're thankful for our Heavenly Father, and we're thankful for His Son, Jesus Christ. We're also thankful for the Holy Spirit, the revelation of God's Word, whereby when we are convicted of our sins, that we can be converted to Christ and have a new life in Jesus Christ. Bear with Christ in baptism and rose to walk in newness of life. And hopefully we're still thankful for the Holy Spirit, for that divine revelation continuing to guide us, because if these things happen and we don't know about them, what good is that going to do for us? But thankfully, we do have the Word of God with us today. How about your attitude towards worship? So much to be thankful for. There are many people that aren't thankful to be able to worship God. There are in other places to whereby they're in fear of being able to just assemble together for fear of the government breaking up the assembly arresting them or maybe even putting them to death. But we have the freedom to worship. What a great blessing and privilege and honor it is that we can glorify the God of heaven. In John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman is speaking with Jesus, and Jesus is going to teach her some things, and we're going to get to the conclusion about worship here in John chapter 4, concerning the place of worship. In John chapter 4, Jesus says, "An hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship how? In spirit and truth." To assemble for worship on the first day of the week. Jesus was raised on the first day of the week. Can we say with the psalmist, "I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord"? Is that a joyful thing? It should be an enthusiastic thing that we can sing praises to a great and matchless God. That we praise God as we thanked him for all the many blessings that we received in many of the songs that we sang this morning in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, writing the Ephesian brethren, Ephesians chapter 5, after talking about being filled with the Spirit, he said, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. That's why we don't use mechanical instruments of music, because the instrument is our heart. This is what the Lord desires in the way that is pleasing to him. We want to do the things that are pleasing to him. In verse 20, notice along with that, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Did you notice the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all involved in that? As we think about concerning our assembling for worship, that we are thankful for that. And what's going to help you as you're facing the daily temptations to sin and the onslaught of the devil, who's like a roaring lion seeking who may devour? Why would we avoid the opportunity to be encouraged in our faith and strengthen our faith? Because, hey, we're not thankful for that. We drift away from the Word of God. And you can't be thankful for the devil for anything, because there's nothing good with the devil. No, he's full of evil. He wants to destroy your faith in God. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, trying to encourage the Hebrew brethren. Hebrews chapter 10, they're facing persecution. They're facing difficulties. They're facing trials and want to go to a more comfortable lifestyle back when they were in Judaism. In Hebrews 10, verse 23, he said, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful." God is faithful. He is going to keep his promises. In continuation, verse 24, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." It's opportunity that we have to encourage one another towards love and towards good deeds. You think about those, about 3,000 individuals who recognized they had crucified the Son of God. "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Yes, you can do something to be forgiven of your sins for crucifying the Messiah. Yes, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Those who gladly received the word were baptized, and at that day about 3,000 souls. What did they do? "I don't want to worship." Really? No, of course they enjoyed the opportunity to worship. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, notice the response. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, "They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer." Here in verse 46, "Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart." Hear the joy and the enthusiasm, the opportunity to learn and to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So much to be thankful for as we think about worship. Or have you denied the opportunity to think, "Well, I only have to come once a week and that's enough for me. Really? that be pleasing to the Lord, the opportunity that we have to encourage one another, the power of prayer, so much to be thankful for. The Apostle Paul telling the Ephesian brethren, now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Even to this very day, the power of prayer, much more than what we can ask or even think. No, God isn't going to give us a Mercedes-Benz or computer or house, whatever physical thing that we're thinking about. We think about spiritual things. As we think about concerning the power of prayer in Hebrews chapter 4, what about when we are suffering? Be thankful for all things. What about when we're suffering? What about when we're in pain? What about when we're in agony? How are we going to deal with that? Hebrews chapter 4, Jesus understood pain. He went through pain and excruciatingly, undeservedly. He didn't deserve to be condemned, but he was willing to suffer and die that cruel and agonizing death on the cross. Notice he said in verse 14, the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 4, verse 14, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy, find grace to help in time of need. Are you in time of need? Say, well, no, I'm fine. I'm fine without God. I've got riches. I've got pleasure. I've got everything I need. I don't need God. What are you going to do when this life is over? You're going to have to face that God in judgment who gave you life. Offered you the forgiveness of sins with his Son and the Holy Spirit revealing his word. Yes, we all need grace and mercy every day of our lives. Maybe it's sometimes more than others. Jesus is able to sympathize with your weaknesses. He's able to sympathize with your suffering. When we think about concerning going to the with confidence, how can we go to God, the holy and righteous God? Only through Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, our great high priest, mediator, intercessor, Savior and Redeemer, what he has done for us. We can go boldly to the throne of grace 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for grace and mercy to help in time of need. Do you believe that? He promised it. It is so. Doesn't mean it's going to go the way that we want, the way that we desire. Sometimes we might have to suffer and endure through that and continue to go through that. In James 5 and verse 16 said, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. What about many righteous people praying for others? Prayers answered on our behalf. Are we thankful for that? Are we thankful for the power of prayer? Are we thankful for providing grace and mercy to help in time of need? In that same context, in James 5, verse 16, you know, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Oh, they were supermen, weren't they? Powerful men of faith. As you look in the Bible, oh, he's a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain. It didn't rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. You think about concerning, he prayed again and the earth poured rain. And the earth produced its fruit. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Are you thankful for all the times that God answered prayer? When you think about Jesus had healed these 10 individuals. Only one came back to be thankful. And he was a foreigner. Jesus often used the foreigners to rebuke those who should have known better, those who were the Jews. Where are the nine? Where are they? Only a foreigner is thankful. That goes to show you sometimes, you know, we get all these blessings, all these spiritual blessings in Christ, and sometimes we're not thankful for them as we should be. And we need to be reminded to be thankful for the power of prayer, for all the many times God has helped us through Jesus Christ. And going along with that, faithful brethren praying for us. The Apostle Paul, over and over again, is thankful for brethren. In Ephesians chapter 1, In Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul mentions concerning the brethren here. He said, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you and your love for all the saints, he said, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. We're thankful for faithful brethren. As you think about concerning the Apostle Paul, as you think about in the body of Christ, we have Christ as our head and we are in the body. And when one suffers, we all suffer with him. When one rejoices, we rejoice with them. Why? Because we're part of the body of Christ. And we think about this part of this spiritual growth in Ephesians chapter 4. When you look at all that the Lord has done for the church in providing apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors and teachers for the equipment of the saints of the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. And you think about this part that we're not going to be tossed here and there by every wind of doctrine. We're going to mature and become like Christ. And then coming to verse 15 and 16, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, what does it do? Causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. How many times your brother or sister in Christ helped you and gave you an encouraging word? Here's from the Word of God. This is what you need. Or maybe you need the rebuke, the correction that is needed. When you are weak and suffering and sick and facing cancer, facing difficulties, I'm going to be praying for you. He said, the Apostle Paul said, I have not ceased praying for you. Praying for you. And you pray for me. And the Apostle Paul wrote to the brethren over and over again. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, he said, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. Connection with power of prayer and faithful brethren, encouraging words. The Apostle Paul concerning this Timothy, his son in the faith, he's about to die for the cause of Christ. He knew that it was coming. And here is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy and encouraging him, helping him as they had gone through many trials together in preaching the gospel of Christ. And the many times the Apostle Paul writing concerning the brethren about Timothy, how much he's going to be an encouragement to you and bringing back word to the Apostle Paul concerning their spiritual growth when he is concerned about them, even to the point of facing death. But the Apostle Paul did not think that he was going to survive this experience. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he said in verse 8, he said he wanted to know them about where he was at in Asia. He said, I was burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will yet deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope. And he will yet deliver us, you also. How are you helping? Joining and helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. Think about how important concerning prayers, faithful brethren, praying for you, praying for the preaching of the gospel, praying for the elders, how important it is. As you think about, the devil is very active. He's at work, but you know what? We can be thankful for faithful brethren, that we can be united and love one another, and we can stand for the truth of the Word of God in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. And we demonstrate our gratitude by living righteously. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all of mankind. We aren't just special ones concerning, here we are just the knowing ones. And we know and nobody else knows. It's appeared to all men. But it teaches us something. What does it teach us? It teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You recognize that concerning God's grace? While we should be thankful for that, we demonstrate that faith by living a righteous and holy life. What do we look forward to? Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people of his own possession, zealous for good deeds. You see that demonstrating your gratitude by living righteously? The Apostle Paul could be thankful for the Roman brethren. You can make a choice. You can choose to serve sin, or you can choose to serve God. He said, thanks be to God concerning them in Romans 6 and verse 17. In Romans 6 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul, you say this about us, and you say that about you. The Apostle Paul said, thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you are committed. It takes a commitment that we love our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to obey whatever he has told us. We are the servant of the Lord. We're going to demonstrate our gratitude to him by living righteously, doing the things that are pleasing in his sight. That doesn't mean that we earn our salvation because we are righteous. Oh, we're so much better than everybody else. No, we recognize it's through God's grace that we can be saved through Jesus Christ. That's why we live a holy life. We live a life that is pleasing to him. We're committed to the teaching of the Word of God. And we're obedient from the heart. Not in order, we're not just going through a ritual. No, it is heartfelt. It is from the heart. The Lord knows our motives. We cannot fool him. We cannot deceive him. And it'll all be exposed in the last day if we're just being a hypocrite and just playing, just kind of like playing a game, playing worship. To whereby it looks like I'm obedient to the Lord, but actually I'm not. No, we're committed to be obedient from the heart here as he continues and said, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. And the psalmist said in Psalm 97, a couple passages from Psalm 97, in verse 12, he said, be glad in the Lord, you righteous ones. And what? And give thanks to his holy name. Say, you're not being like the Pharisees. I thank God that I'm not like all these other sinners. We recognize concerning the righteousness of the Lord and through obedience to the gospel that we can be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth and grow to become like him in our lives. In Psalm 142 in verse 7. Bring my soul out of prison so that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. As he is dealing with persecution, he is crying out to God. Are you counting your blessings? Are you naming them one by one? You have much to be thankful for, and so do I. You show what you're thankful for by how you live your life. What happens for those who know better and turn away from God? So I don't like that kind of life. It's too hard of life. I don't like to deal with the persecution. I don't want to deal with the suffering and the pain. You think the devil's going to help with that? The way of the transgressor is hard. Proverbs 13, verse 15. You know what? You want to live like the world? God allows you to do that. But there's a cost for that. And Romans chapter 1 talks all about that. In Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1. Here are those who he mentions here who knows God. Even though they knew God. Verse 21. They did not honor him as God or what? Or give thanks. That's when we think about concerning our children. That they learn to be thankful. Because here are all these blessings. And just take that for granted. And here the arrogance and the condescension, the unthankful, ungrateful individuals. And we can be that way. We're complaining and arguing. We're not thankful for what we have. We just complain and argue about all these different things. We demonstrate that we are not thankful to God. But here are those who know better, even though they did not, they knew God. They didn't honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations. And notice what happens to their heart. Their foolish heart was darkened, professing to be wise. They think they're smart, think they're wise, the scientist. professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. And so God gave them over to their lust and their hearts to impurity. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They were unthankful. The whole thing is that recognize we're still alive here this day. Sometimes it takes individuals to go through pain and suffering to recognize their Heavenly Father cares about them. But you know what? The devil will turn that around and see, you blame God. Curse him. It's his fault. And we recognize concerning, you know, sometimes it is pain and suffering that helps us to be dependent on God. Did for the Apostle Paul concerning his life, 2 Corinthians 12, his thorn in the flesh. And you see that he is thankful every day of his life. It's demonstrated and it's written. What is written down for us and following the example of Jesus Christ. What about you as you think about concerning you're continuing in sin and think I'm going to be able to go into heaven and walk into glory. I believe in God. I believe in Christ. No, we recognize concerning it is a daily sacrifice. It's a daily commitment that we serve the Lord and joyously serve the Lord. Because as we think about the power of prayer, we think about faithful brethren, we think about the power of His Word in our everyday lives. Are you thankful for your Heavenly Father's love and sending His Son to die on the cross for your sins? The Holy Spirit revealing that Word that you can be born again to a living hope. You can do that this morning. You can be forgiven of all of your sins, but you recognize first of all, the Holy Spirit came to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. You with wicked hands have crucified the Son of God, He told the Jews in the first century. You with wicked hands or wicked mouths have said profane things, had told lies, gossiped and slandered, committed fornication, getting drunk, committing murder, can still be saved. Like those 3,000 individuals, about 3,000 individuals. When they were convicted, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. Promises for you and for your children, for all who are far off, including the Gentiles, very likely including you and me. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. We're going to have to give an answer in the last day. Why would you not obey the gospel if you're outside of Christ? Be baptized for the remission of sins. If you're not being faithful to the Lord, be restored back to the Lord's service. God calls. We encourage you to come right now as you stand and sing the song of encouragement.